This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
Trying to do a nice thing, but it's backfired on her here. All she wants to do is send her TikToks out, her Instagrams out. She wants to help you guys try to save some money. Well, in this particular case, she went over the line for some people. So calling her a cheapskate and saying this was just over the line.
This guy out of Australia will literally peel his bananas before he buys them. Because you pay by weight. So he refuses to pay for the peel and will peel it in the grocery store before bagging it and weighing it. And this isn't the first time he's done something like this.
It's a really sad picture, by the way. And I was like, because, you know, bananas brown real fast. It's one solitary peeled banana in a plastic bag on the, like, when you go through the self-checkout and you have, like, you know, you have the little scale mm-hmm. and you put it on there. Just a sad little peeled banana shoved in a bag just sitting there as he's checking out.
Now, he's not the only one who does this because I saw a documentary clip of a woman who does the same thing, but she'll even go as far as taking grapes off the vine because she refuses to pay for the vine. She'll break broccoli stalks because she's like, I don't eat the stalk. I'm not going to pay for it. So if she has a part of the fruit or vegetable that she is not going to eat, she will remove it so that it does not get weighed and she does not pay for it.
I'm going to put that in my special instructions the next time I do Instacart and ask them to peel my bananas for me, please.
It does make some sense.
How much you really saving?
Because, well, I mean, you could look at it like, how much are you saving today? Probably not much. But over the course of the year, with all the other things they're hacking on, could be hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, hundreds?
Hundreds.
No.
Like hundred.
Hundreds?
No, like, no.
Well, we don't know what else
they're $20s.
Look, if he's hacking on this one, he must be hacking on a whole bunch of different things.
He is. So most people were like, girl, this one's fine. Like, you can stay with him. But his other hack is so gross. So I guess it's in Australia. They don't have free refills the same way we do here in the States. So Taco Bell over there is offering free refills. Just bring your cup. So he got an empty cup he found in the parking lot and went and just walked in and refilled it and walked out again and drank it.
What are you going to do?
Absolutely not.
You got to kiss that mouth.
If the dude wants to drink out of a used cup that's not his, go ahead, save yourself a penny.
I'm going to save him a lot of money on our dates because we're not going on anymore. We're breaking up.
Speaking of breaking up, should I stay or should I go? Shady or not? In this case, he's got a weekend plan with his old friends. She wants to go along and he's not having it.
I have something on my mind that I just can't shake, and I could really use some outside opinions. My boyfriend and I have been dating for just under a year now, and this is our first summer together. I feel pretty confident in our relationship, but something makes me unsure. Each summer, my boyfriend and his high school friends reenact their senior trip, a week-long beach trip where they catch up, have fun, and as I've heard, relive the glory days. Sounds like a great tradition, and many of his friends bring along their partners. When I heard about it, I was genuinely excited to join and get to know his friends better. That was until he told me he didn't want me to go. His reasons? First, he thinks I won't enjoy myself since I don't know anyone else going. Secondly, he says he looks forward to this trip as a carefree experience and doesn't want to worry about making sure I'm okay or having a good time. It almost feels like he doesn't want to include me in his life. To make it more complicated, he has an ex-girlfriend from high school.
Shader! Took my own words out of my mouth.
Who also attends this trip every year. He hasn't mentioned her in relation to the trip, but I can't help but think there might be a connection to why he won't let me come. So, am I just reading too much into it? I don't want to ruin his fun, but I also don't want to ignore what might be a problem.
I was actually on his side until she mentioned the ex-girlfriend thing, who's going every week also, or every year, I should say. Look, I think that people should be able to go and hang with friends from time to time without their significant others. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, I think it's kind of healthy. But if everybody else is bringing significant others and he's not, and there's an ex-girlfriend on the trip, then it really feels shady to me also.
There's multiple red flags. And I agree with you. Like, you should be able to go and hang with friends without your significant other. And also, like, if you were going to be the only one, let's be honest, even if you are an extrovert and you make friends easily, as the person who brings somebody new into a group, you're going to feel obligated to take care of them and make sure they're comfortable rather than actually like enjoying your friends. So I totally get that. But if every other person there has a significant other, mm-hmm. and your ex-girlfriend from high school is there, and that is like, it's mm-hmm. so many shades of shady.
But is the ex-girlfriend bringing a partner? Then that would change it up a little bit. I'm definitely not on this guy's side for sure, mainly because they've been dating for a year or almost a year. And if you're telling me you have this big group outing with all your friends and they're all bringing their partners, I'm thinking that you don't want to include me in that whatsoever. Because at that point, I feel like a year into the relationship, like, you got to crap or get off the pot. Like, do you want me to be a part of your life or not?
Yeah, I thought I was going to be able to defend him here, and I was with him at first. But the fact that everybody else seems to be bringing someone, yeah. like, I don't even know how you can get out of this. And then, yeah, with the ex-girlfriend going to be there, it definitely feels like he's just trying to keep those two worlds mm-hmm. separate. And if this is your new girl, you can't do that.
Unanimously shady?
It's shady.
Okay, do you go anyway?
Do you go anyway? Like, just crash the weekend?
Uh-huh. Absolutely not.
No. That'll ruin a relationship.
Is that what you would have done?
Maybe.
Because I feel like you give him an out if you do that.
No, it'd be like a surprise. And then everybody would be so happy to meet you.
Surprise, all right.
Break up before that even happens. Yeah. Why waste your time?
The Bert Show.
All right, look, somebody has to stick up for the mistresses. Somebody, because mistresses are people too. So it's Sarah J. Simmons. She is the former mistress of Chef Gordon Ramsay and Lord Jeffrey Alcha, who has a podcast and a book out about mistresses.
Okay.
And in it, she educates people on mistresses and tells them, look, they are not bad people, and there are a lot of misconceptions about mistresses that you should embrace because you're making, in some cases, the wrong assumptions.
I'm just surprised people are still using the word mistress.
What would you like? A side piece?
Yeah, I think side piece is more 2023.
She refers to herself as a mistress.
If you're like the side piece for a lord, you're going with mistress. Or that's madam side piece to you.
I'm a lady side piece. Get it right.
This levels.
Sounds like an exclusive KFC bucket deal. I'd like the lady side piece.
Here's what she wants you to know. A couple of things about mistresses that you got all messed up. First of all, mistresses are always better looking or younger than the wife. No! She says no! No. There is a specific type when it comes to women who are likely to be mistresses. Anyone can be a mistress, she says. It's not as though it's regulated to just one specific type of woman. Hell, you could be sitting next to a mistress right now in your office and even not know it. So do not, she says, assume that they are younger than the wife, or better looking than the wife.
I love how she thinks this is them standing up for them. Like, they can be ugly too. Mistresses are hot.
If the domain name Ugly Mistress isn't taken, we need to get it right now, and I don't know what for. She says, look, you've got this misconception that all of them are kept women. She says, let's be honest, not every man who strays has big bucks to put his mistress up in a penthouse or the Four Seasons where she can live quite happily on room service and in-house massages. She says, in fact, sometimes, according to her, the mistress is the one with the money, and she's the one lending money to the dude.
Okay.
She really thinks this is helping them. Okay.
Yeah.
She just wants you to know.
Okay.
Somebody's got to stand up for him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Mistresses are not homewreckers. They are not homewreckers, according to her. They keep married.
I can't even say it.
According to her, they keep a marriage together in that the man has a release. She says it's a place to go and a person who understands him. He goes home a happier man, a happier husband, a happier father. And she says she knows that firsthand. The other woman becomes the crutch for his failing marriage, meaning he never has to leave it as he has his own little nirvana on the sly. That helps him stay married.
Well, that's the problem. So I don't think she's wrong or inaccurate, but the problem is you shouldn't be in a toxic, loveless marriage where you're unhappy and you need to seek outside joy and nirvana.
Why does it have to be a love? Why can't, that's what my dad used to say, I love your mom, but I can be with other women.
Well, you
that's not
you.
Called monogamy.
I mean, if you have an open marriage, but if it's not agreed upon, then I don't think you can.
I don't know that he ever checked in with my mom on it.
You know?
Both side and on. Maybe he just forgot, got busy.
I love that she is so full of herself that she is saying, I made your husband a better father by sleeping with him.
Yes.
You're welcome.
That is a magic badge.
I want to know the woman that can call up and say, that's the excuse that my husband used when I caught him, is that it made me more present with you because I was with somebody else when I came home because I was happy there. I wasn't in town. It made me a better husband.
We have had the phone calls. We have had the phone calls where an affair made the marriage stronger. Like, I remember those. I was blown away by them. They have happened. This is delusional. This is mistress delusion.
She says, look, if you guys think mistresses are having all the fun, you are very, very wrong. In addition to keeping a marriage together, she says, I don't think you're taking her very seriously. I don't feel like you are taking her platform very seriously at all. Mistresses sort of pick up where the legal wife leaves off, becoming what Simmons calls the second wife. The other woman benefits a wife when the wife has become lazy and delegated her marital duties. Mm. And yet the wife is always so angry when she finds out. I think wives should be a little more appreciative of the mistress, is what she says.
You about to appreciate these fists in your face. I'm going to pull a BB Rexa on you.
Is this real?
This is real. This is right out of her book.
Did she really just blame affairs on the wife
for
the wife being lazy?
Uh-huh. No. Yeah, shit. Yeah, 100%.
Go play in traffic. Go test out some cinder blocks while scuba diving.
There are three others that I can't count in. I can't get into because I just can't do them with a straight face.
God, go take a drive off an unfinished overpass.
Any more?
No, that's it. I'm just very angry. I could buy the BS up until that point, and now I'm pissed. You're not going to blame an affair on the poor wife.
If she was just taking care of herself a little bit better, it'd be no problem.
If she wasn't lazy. So lazy raising him and the kids, it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Reports are saying Meghan Markle didn't do some of the interviews for her podcast Archetypes. So last week we got the news that Spotify was ending their $20 million deal with the Duke and Duchess. Rumor has it because they didn't produce enough content. Well, now it looks like Meghan didn't even do some of the interviews for the show. Pod News reported that some of the interviews were done by the Duchess's staff and that they would use audio of Meghan recording questions and implementing them into the show.
No. So
Abby does a podcast. Mo does a podcast. I have a podcasting company. And we already know how much work goes into doing a podcast. However, for $20 million, for 12 episodes, you can do it.
For $20 million, give her the list of questions right. And just have her ask them.
Get it done.
12 episodes, $20 million.
Not
and
a problem.
She couldn't even do that?
Like, it's hard, but it's not that hard.
It ain't that hard.
I'm doing it in my basement. Like, it's fine. So she literally would sit there and just record questions.
Oh, yeah.
Her staff would go and get the answers, and then they would just piecemeal it together.
Oh, this has been done in radio?
I know it's been done in radio, but we don't do that.
We don't do that, but it's been
and
done.
And we don't get paid $20 million. maybe this is why we're not getting paid $20 million. But a writer named Allison Yarrow, a while back, she had actually gotten on Instagram and had thanked one of Meghan's producers for being such a great interviewer. So that's what one of the sources that people are citing for proof as to why this is happening.
What a backhanded way to expose them by that journalist.
No, people are coming out of the woodworks. Like Spotify exec Bill Simmons, he's got this podcast.
Oh, and Bart loves him. My husband listens to him constantly.
So he probably heard him say this. So he's on the podcast talking about Meghan and Harry and all the drama that's going down. And he absolutely roasted them. He said, the effing grifters. That's the podcast we should have launched with them. I got to get drunk one night and tell the story of the Zoom I had with Harry to try and help him with a podcast idea. It's one of my best stories.
What is a grifter?
It's like a swindler. Like Yeah, they're going around and basically swindled Spotify out of $20 million for 12 or 13 episodes.
Man, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I watched that Netflix special, that propaganda with the both of them, and I was feeling so bad for them. They seem like such good people.
But you know, whenever you see a documentary like that, it is so one-sided.
Of course, yeah, especially if they're behind it, right?
No, I feel like this is still part of a smear campaign. I don't think they're pristine perfect in any, nobody is. And maybe they did do this, like, switch up with the podcast. I mean, they haven't had a comment yet. But the British tabloids and its spread, they are just out to take them down.
Well, Bill
Simmons
is a good old American, though.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it starts to infiltrate. And, like, even here, we're like, oh, I had no problem. They seemed so nice. They seemed so great in the documentary. And now we're like, oh, they're awful. We're starting to believe it. And we don't actually have the facts and know what is true and what's not.
We don't need facts anymore to hate people.
We just need Bill Simmons.
This American is 2023.
If Bill Simmons says it's true...
It is true.
Okay, I'm not gonna pin my opinion on one random man who doesn't know them personally, like, intimately.
Yeah, so when it came, because I watched a little bit of the documentary and stuff, and while you just have to kind of go with a gut feeling, do I think they have gotten screwed by the royal family and things have been mishandled and they have been mistreated? Absolutely. Do I think he, especially her, are innocent in a lot of this stuff? Absolutely not.
No, I'm sure there is some spin. I'm sure there was some poking the bear. But when you see, like, when you get deep and you see the other stories that would have broken before Harry and Meghan got thrown under the tabloid bus, it starts to shed things in a new light.
I have told you guys before, I am past using the phrase that I am a good judge of character. I've been proven time and time again I am not. So now I default to Kristen. I don't like them either.
It's not that I don't like them, but definitely something irks me and seems a little bit off.
That's how I feel now also.
I'm just defaulting to Bill Simmons for my judge of character. Because see, the only reason why I feel like it has a little bit of validity is that this is somebody who was on a Zoom call with Harry having like a firsthand experience rather than it just being like the Daily Mail. Yeah. Meghan Markle and Harry, they're awful.
And one interaction does not determine an entire person's character.
True,
That I totally agree with. But... Something's off.
Something's based off a Zoom call. Something is off. Well, at least, Kristen, you think for yourself. Everybody else thinks agrees with you or Bill Simmons.
I think with Kristen.
I'm going to come out with my own blog post and be like, Abby Murphy says that. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. They're a little sketchy. But you know what? I really want to like Meghan and Harry. So maybe one day. The press
too.
Will be on their side.
I think, see, that's the thing. I think everybody wants it to be all or nothing.
Yeah.
I think people can be very likable and they also can have some shortcomings. And I think that's the case here.
Yeah, both things can be true. Russell Simmons' family chose to celebrate someone else instead of him on Father's Day. I'll tell you about that family feud on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show. I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
The Burt Show. Look, the videos applying pressure to parents when it comes to time with their kids have just got to stop. There are just too many. There was one that everybody was sending parents just a couple of months ago that absolutely drove Kristen crazy.
it drove me crazy. And then you sent it to me because you're like, ugh, this is so sweet. And I'm like, no, it's not. This is an a-hole trying to make me feel bad and give me more mom guilt than I already have.
This is the one that set her off a couple of months ago, and I already have another one lined up.
Thanks.
You have little kids for 4 years. And if you miss it, it's done. That's it. So you got to know that. It's, you know, lots of things in life you don't get to do more than once. Now, obviously, you can have more than one child, but all I'm saying is that period between 0 and 4, 0 and 5, there's something about it that's really, it's like a peak experience in life. And it isn't much of your life, you know, because you think of it as a long time. It's not that long, man. 4 years goes by so fast you can't believe it. And if you miss it, it's gone.
It's gone.
Forever.
So, you know, I'm going to go out of town this coming weekend for my birthday.
Don't do it.
Just to have a little alone time. But if I do that, that weekend with Jimmy is gone. I'll never have it. I'll never see. And why they got to play the Friday Night Lights music,
I know,
in the background?
Right, to make it more dramatic. I mean, these are one after the other after the other.
It's incessant. And especially when you get like into the trenches of the mommy algorithm on Instagram. It's like, and it, like and something like a audio starts to go viral, and it's just, it's the only thing that pops up. And I'm like, if you remind me one more time how I need to just soak it all in, and this time is so precious and fleeting.
Yeah, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because I'm about to play another one for you.
I guess I'm going to sit here and listen to it, but I know the one that you're going to play because I've, it's there.
Well, you guys, if you see these on TikTok or on Instagram, please save them. Send them to me.
Okay.
And then I'll play them for Kristen. It's at Bert Showbert on Instagram. All right, Kristen.
Yeah.
How do you stack up against this father?
For 10 years, you are your child's favorite person in the world, as a father or as a mother. And after that, they have new favorite people in the world. They have best friends, they have girlfriends, boyfriends, they get married. You're never, ever going to be their favorite person again. And so really what it is it's a call to arms to be there and appreciate and embrace those 10 years, to stop living the deferred happiness plan where you say like, well, I'm going to work really hard now so that I can be happy when I'm 40 or 50. Because when you're 40 or 50, they're not going to be 3 years old anymore. They're going to be 13 and have best friends and not want to hang out with you. They're actually not going to think you are cool anymore. And so my whole mantra since he's been born has been that I want to be super, super present.
So there's going to be a time, Kristen. Mm-hmm. So enjoy it now.
Yeah.
Where you're his hero, you're his best friend, but it's fleeting. So you need to enjoy those moments, every single second of them, because you will blink and you will not be their best friend anymore. Mm-hmm.
I don't even
it would be a little awkward at 13 if he was like, mama lap. That's not the one I thought you were going to play, though. Which I thought it was the other one. And I think, Cassie, we were talking about this. It's like, you only have 18 summers. You only have 20 visits from the tooth fairy.
I haven't seen that one yet. Oh, I need it.
I'm like, I'm so tired of the internet breaking down like precious moments or amazing things in your life into something super negative to scare you and guilt you and make you feel all weird and selfish. Like, there's the other one, like, here's a calendar of dots, the amount of minutes you have left in your life. Imagine them being blacked out one by one. I'm like, y'all need hobbies. You only have 18 summers. That's 18 years. Thank God she's going to be out of the damn house and I can do a summer vacation somewhere I want for a quarter of the cost.
When these come into your feed, please send them to me on Instagram.
Oh.
Please, at Bert Showbert. Because this is the kind of reaction that I'm going for.
It makes me so mad because I can't even, like, I'm the same way. I took an hour for myself yesterday because I was in a bad mood.
It's an hour you could have been spending with your kids.
Exactly.
That's all I could think about while I was up there trying to, like, chill out. And I was like, I could hear the kids laughing. Yep. And I'm like, I should be down there
it's
with
an
them.
Hour of laughs you could have had with them.
Every hour was precious.
I hate it. It's guilt.
An hour of pictures.
I kid you not. These, like, stupid viral Instagram reels and this audio. I'm on the plane. And my son, it just, like... And we were at the airport for a 5.5 hour delay. And this kid is in this most beautiful mommy face. Mama lap, doesn't want dad, wants to be with me. He's like wallowing all over me. He's crawling all over me.
Enjoy it, because you're going to wake up one day and it's not going to be there anymore.
I know, but that's the thing. And so I'm sitting here and I'm like, I just need some space. I need something not to be touching me right now. I just want to have autonomy of my body and I can't. And I really just want like him to go to his dad and I just don't want anything to touch me. And then I'm like, but I only have 18 songs. No,
Kristen, I've dated a lot of men who are still obsessed with their mothers. You're totally fine.
You really are too much, man. Oh. These videos are way too much.
The Burt Show.
All right, so with Texting Tutor, it was last week that she wanted our help reaching out to her sister to rescind an agreement that they made.
Oh, gosh. So at the beginning of the summer, her sister asked her if she would watch her two kids free. She wasn't going to pay her. Sister agreed to it, wanted to help her sister out, wanted to be there as a good sister does. And like, yeah, sure. I got a four-year-old at home. I'm at home. I'll watch your kids, which I think are like 7 and 9 or something around those ages. No problem. 2 weeks in, she was hating life. She was regretting the decision of watching her kids, watching her sister's kids. She said they wouldn't mind. They were misbehaving. They were running around crazy. She couldn't discipline them. They weren't listening. And she wanted to back out of the deal with her sister.
As an aunt, she only has probably 17 summers with these kids. So she'd be enjoying them, right?
And we did the texting tutor.
Uh-huh.
And we told the sister, and the sister was obviously not happy about this. Didn't really go full in on how bad the kids were behaving, but she wanted to talk to the kids. We wanted to have, like, the way we finagled this was to have a family meeting with mom, the kids, and her, to get on the same page so she could discipline them. But then her sister was like, I don't want to traumatize them with a family meeting. Mm-hmm. But we told her, you have the leverage. No family meeting, no free babysitting.
You only have 17 summers to traumatize your kids. So traumatize them when you have the opportunity.
Stop saying 17 summers. It's not like they go no contact after you leave. You can still traumatize them via text.
Well, for you, it's going to be different because I'm guessing they're going to run away.
Are you kidding?
You have 14 today.
You have 14 summers.
I'm an amazing mother. They will run away and spend time with another mother and come crawling back to me begging for forgiveness.
So we thought it was really pretty unfair because she was dropping this bomb in the air, already had the agreement. So to say, like, hey, tomorrow's my last day, she's got nothing else lined up. So her sister obviously was freaked out. So how did the meeting go? And did they work through it? Here's the email. We did have the conversation later that day. We talked for about an hour about it all. From incessant shouting to disrespecting me and ignoring my requests. While we were talking, she could actually hear a lot of the chaos in the other room that turned into my four-year-old crying and coming to find me. So at that point, she couldn't really ignore it. She called her kids into the room and had a pretty stern talk with them. They seemed to be a little shocked and embarrassed to be confronted about their behavior by both me and my sister at the same time. They promised to start behaving and respecting me. I was reluctant to believe it. My sister was also able to adjust her work schedule so that she would drop off the kids a bit later, around 8 a.m., which has made the morning a little less frantic. Unfortunately, by Friday, their behavior was back to how it was. Awful. I told my sister I had reached a breaking point. I said I'd give it one more week. If there's not a significant shift in the kids' behavior, I won't be watching them. Okay, stop here for just a second. I think that's fair.
It is.
That's very fair.
Yeah, it's fair. We all had to sit down, right? Mm-hmm. We told the kids they have to straighten out. The behavior is continuing. She's given it yet another week, so mom gets to talk to the kids. And if it keeps going on, then everybody's got to bail on this situation. I think that's fair. She says, I've started asking around for potential summer babysitters and even looked into some summer camps, which she certainly doesn't have to do, right?
No, she's going above and beyond to try to, like, find a solution to the problem.
I know she doesn't have a lot of money, so I absolutely have to. Maybe I'd be open to watching them part-time. Like, they could do a summer camp in the morning and I could pick them up once they're already exhausted and tired.
Now
I don't know.
You're thinking.
Yeah, she says, I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with any solution that I can. Anyhow, thanks for asking and thanks for the help last week. I think she's doing everything she can.
I mean, considering that she was really done when she came to us, she didn't want to do it at all. And she's still not only doing it, but still trying to find solutions. Yeah, you can't be mad at her.
She should just put them in the backyard like dogs. Just let them run around. If it rains, put them in the bathroom. Boom. Problem solved.
She's going above and beyond at this point to look for the babysitters.
And
to
she's
come
digging
up,
deep.
And she's digging deep. So to come up to with summer camp ideas also, rearranging her morning schedule. At this point, if her sister is ticked off, it's not her fault.
She's gone above and beyond to try to be there for her sister by also not losing her mind. So I commend her for what she's doing thus far. And I'm actually proud of the sister for receiving that. And actually, like, not getting defensive or taking a hit to the pride or ego and having a stern conversation with their kids. I think that should be acknowledged as well.
I mean, she's got to protect her mental health also.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's doing it the right way.
Exactly.
The Burt Show.
Look, just about every city in America, it doesn't matter if you're big or medium or small, you got, like, a local concert venue where bands come through, you get your drink on at the bar. Maybe some of these venues even have 100 or 200 seats, if that, right? You go on a Friday night or a Saturday night, you get your drink on, it's pretty cheap, and you get to see some band coming through town, or maybe even an up-and-coming band or one of your favorite bands. You've done this, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's a great night out, right?
It's a fantastic, especially if you like, you know, if you dig live music.
Mo, you like that experience?
Of course.
Well, it's going away because Mikey and Abby aren't drinking enough.
It is
shame.
Not.
It is going away. All right, it's their fault. You're not drinking enough, Abby. In turn, Mikey, you're not drinking enough. Gen Zers are drinking noticeably less overall, but even less at concerts compared to other age groups. Now, this came from Billboard over the weekend. If you're born between the ages of 1997 and 2012, there's been drinking a reduced such amount of alcohol that it's impacting smaller live concert venues. And they are trying to figure out why. So this is a quote from somebody at the Music Biz Conference that says, one of the big trends we're seeing is that Gen Z doesn't drink as much. They're either eating edibles before they come or there's more of a sober mental health bogus. So most of the ticket price goes on to the band. So really that leaves the venue just the beverages really to make a lot of money off of. And because you guys aren't drinking as much, the concert venues are saying, we're going to have to either change our format. We're going to have to think of something because you guys are coming to the bar and you're already stoned and you're not drinking enough.
I can attest I was not sober at the Eras tour, but when I was in Chicago, admittedly, like that's kind of what I wanted. I like didn't want to have to get up and go get a bunch of drinks. I was hoping I was going to be high as hell. Wasn't the case. I couldn't get high.
It wasn't for a lack of trying.
It wasn't for a lack of trying. Do you think it's because these ticket prices are so expensive and shows are so long, drinking causes you to use the bathroom and you don't want to have to go use the bathroom during the show?
I don't know. Let's ask Mikey. Mikey is our intern. He is 21?
21.
21.
I'm going to tell you, I'm doing my fair share. I'm not taking any of the blame on this.
He's carrying the team on his back.
Drinking enough for a couple of grown men, and I'm showing up stoned, so you can't blame it on me. No, but I think, here's the thing, drinks are so expensive. You already spent so much money on these stupid tickets. I don't think the peeing is the problem. That takes 2 seconds. You get creative. You find ways to sneak drinks in.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I got a lady, she's got a big purse. That was the first thing I noticed. I said, I see your big purse. I need a lady with a big purse. I stick like 6 beers in there. You can have your beer anywhere you want. I'm telling you.
He likes big purses and he cannot lie.
I cannot lie.
As a general rule, do you guys find like 20, 21, 26, drinking less? I'm not even going to get into the edible part. Just drinking less?
I don't think so at all. I mean, I'm definitely an elder Gen Zer, so maybe I'm on the cusp of like the binge drinkers. But like when I was at the Taylor Swift concert, not wanting to pee for sure was a concern. But also like Mikey said, these drinks are expensive. So if you can get drunky monkey beforehand, we're going to do that.
I feel like when I was that age and going to concerts, that's pretty much what we were doing too. Like we weren't drinking that much once we got to the venue because of money. Like we would pregame. Mm-hmm. Pregaming was a big thing when I was that age.
So if that's still happening now, then where's the switch happening then? If it was going on then also, they were making money back in the day and they're mm-hmm. saying, these sober punk asses are taking us right out of business.
Maybe we're just poor.
There's a cool phenomenon that says like, if you're confronted with some information and actual facts, you'll probably reject it. Like we know alcohol is a poison and it makes you feel awful and all of these things. And yet a lot of us still do it anyway. But if you grow up knowing those facts from like early on, you're actually going to listen to them. Huh. So as millennials, I think, start to shift how they feel about alcohol and they're embracing mocktails more, their kids are starting to get this message as well. Huh. And so because they're growing up with the facts from like not day one, but very early on in life, you can start to see an attitude shift.
Now, that is a really good point right there. Because had I known how bad it was for me back in the day, I might have done something about it. But we didn't realize like how bad alcohol truly was for like every cell in your body. Now we all know that. And this isn't the first generation to know that. So that does make some sense
and
to me.
And you've got TikToks and reels as well talking about mental health and mocktails and things you can do instead of drinking. So if you're on those algorithms, you're also constantly getting bombarded with, I won't say anti-drinking messages, but more like health-focused messaging, which is, again, something that was missing from my college experience as well.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. I'm gonna say no. It sounds really nice, but no.
That's a no from me, dog.
People are out there drinking. Yeah. Nobody's learning anything. I think people are learning.
Tell that to the venues who are going broke because y'all aren't buying alcohol.
We just got creative. We got little IV packs running through our
you
body.
You think we didn't have that?
Well,
it may be more sophisticated
better.
Now, man.
Yeah, see, also on those algorithms, even better ways to hide alcohol.
Big purses.
The Burt Show. Real funny.
All right, our intern Kayla, her dad is dating someone, but is it almost the homewrecker that he is dating? You're having a real problem with this.
According to the mistress list you read earlier, mistresses are not homewreckers.
Yeah, I had a lot to say about that. They definitely are. They definitely are 100% lies.
Yeah, so if you weren't listening earlier, there's this mistress that came out saying, hey, y'all got it twisted when it comes to mistresses. We're not bad people. In fact, we're probably keeping your marriage alive because your man is happy with me. He comes home. He's more relaxed. The expectation is less on you to have sex. So you should be thanking the mistress.
I mean, in some cases, I guess it's true because it did end up working out for them after the fact. They went on to have my sister and a couple, 10 more years of marriage. But
we're going to need some family history here before we get into the meat of it. So what we got?
So, yeah, so before I was born, my parents got married. They got conceived me. During that pregnancy, my biological father, he cheated on my mother with this woman. And I don't know how it ended officially, but they had me, went on to have my sister 2 years later, and then finished off another 10, 11 years of marriage.
Okay. So they have a baby outside of him and your mom's marriage.
No kids. They were just together, but okay. No kids were made in that.
Got it.
So what she's saying is, like, while her mom was pregnant with her, he cheats on her. But the
That's
affair.
That's bad timing, Kristen.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
That's real bad timing.
But it didn't end the marriage. Her parents stayed together 2 years later, had another kid, which is her sister, and were married for 10 years. So the mistress didn't end the marriage.
No, in fact, she made it stronger, just as we said earlier this morning. So your dad should be thanking her.
Yeah, I guess in some cases. But now it's come back to, I feel like, not bite us in the butt, but it's just, I don't know. I'm trying to just figure out how to navigate it as far as like just the why of it all, because he's now on his second divorce. He's been divorced twice now and dating this woman. And it's just like, I just don't like it. They like to come for me and my relationship status. And it's like, what example are you all leading me here?
Why do you know this?
So that's the crazy part. I was trying to do like a War of the Roses type style, just because I only know what I know from my sister and mother telling me what I know from college. So like my sister, she spends a lot of time over at his house, just traveling back and forth, and she'll notice like her shoe high heels left behind or just random things from a woman.
No.
Left.
Why do you know your dad cheated on your mom?
Oh, what do I know? Oh, yeah. My mom, she shared it with me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty open.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we get deep in my family.
I mean, there are two ways that you can handle that. And I know that there are some parents that really want to be 100% authentic with their kids. And that's one way to go. It would not be the way I would go. I would not share that. I would probably make up a whole bunch of different excuses on why the marriage broke down. But you know what? People are different.
Yeah, I mean, I think it also just helped. It helped me, knowing it actually kind of helped me deal with their divorce, because I was heartbroken and just off. It was awful for me dealing with that at the beginning.
Gotcha.
And I needed to know all of those things that led up to it. Like, there was, what was the final straw? I don't know, but there was such a string of things and I needed to know that.
Yeah, and I can see your mom's point of it also is like, I just want you to know we are not together anymore because your dad can't keep it in his pants.
Hopefully she didn't say it like that, but I can see, like, your mom read the room and saw her child was in need of answers, and so she gave you those answers.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
All right, so now he's circling back. Now he is dating again.
Yes.
The woman that he was messing around with when your mom was pregnant with you.
Yes. He says he has a couple options. Like, he says he's dating around. He's just getting to know people in general.
Oh, he's got a roster.
Yes, exactly. He has a roster for sure, but I'm like 90% sure she's number one on that roster.
And he's hiding the fact that he's dating her from
Absolutely.
Y'all?
He has no idea that I know any of this information. I don't think he does, at least. I'm 90% sure he does not know I know this. But yeah, he doesn't tell us any specifics about any of these women that he's dating at all.
But you want to get down.
But I want to get down. I want to know. I just need that confirmation. I just need that final say-so. And like I said, it'll just help put so many things in perspective for me and just once again, check my lineage.
I'm trying to think, if my kid came to me looking for answers about that, would I say, you know what, this is part of my life that you don't need to know about, and I don't feel comfortable sharing with you? Or would my reaction be like, if this is really what you need to heal, would I tell you everything? I can't answer that. I don't know.
I feel like that's a game time decision.
For sure.
I think that's when you'd put on pause and say, let me think about this.
Mm-hmm. I think I would probably have guilt, though, inside of me. If I knew that my child knew that the divorce happened because I cheated, I probably would feel a little more obligated to be forthcoming with my dating life if they needed that.
You know, it feels less, I don't even know what the word is I want to use, but like, if your dad had come clean, and like, if your dad had told you what he had done rather than your mom telling you. But I mean, like I said, I do not begrudge your mom whatsoever. She read the room. She knew what her child needed. And you know, whatever was happening in the moment with the divorce, I get all of that. But I feel like if your dad just would have owned up and took accountability for it, that might be felt different. But again, I personally wouldn't want to know any of that information.
So, and we're also taking this from your dad's side. We don't know anything about it also. But while he was guilty of sleeping around on your mom, he may have a narrative also on why he did that. Right. Even though it wasn't right, for sure, it can't be excused, but he probably has a story to tell also. But if he tells it, it probably doesn't put your mom in the best light, so he might not want to share that either. You know, there was some stuff that me and my ex-wife were going through that my kids, hopefully, at least from my side, will never know, because if I gave my side, it will make her, in my eyes, look bad to them. So I will hold that to myself.
What good is it going to do for you to know whether or not she's on the roster and if she's number one on it?
Well, because like, they just like to pick at me, but they come for me from my relationship and how I handle things. Mm. I need that confirmation to be like, look at the example that you are setting. Like, I just need that official confirmation. That's really it.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Russell Simmons' family chose not to celebrate him on Father's Day.
This was ugly.
It's a mess.
Real ugly.
Yeah, so his daughters, Ming and Aoki Lee, they celebrated their mom, Kimora Lee Simmons, on Instagram by wishing her a happy Father's Day. Aoki,
That's a shot delivered. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Very, very publicly. Mm-hmm. So she shared a bunch of WhatsApp screenshots on her Instagram, basically trying to paint a picture of what her father's like. She said that he's harassing her and her friends and her boyfriend and not offering any financial support, which I think they're probably doing okay. Kimora Lee has like a net worth of $200 million, but apparently he's not in the picture that way. And so he actually came back on Instagram and gave his side of the story. He's like, he said something that implied that Kimora was actually the reason behind their strained relationship. He said, stop telling fathers that they should have fought harder to see their children and start asking mothers why he had to fight at all. Ex-wife Kimora Lee Simmons spoke out on a very tearful Instagram Live and said that he threatened her kids' lives on a little Instagram screenshot. So
it's just a really messy situation. It's so sad for everybody involved.
Yeah, like, so watching Kimora Lee's live and then her daughter getting involved, which, I mean, technically they're adults, but they're young adults. And then his daughter posted a screen recording of a FaceTime. And when you record FaceTimes, it doesn't record audio, right? You just get the video. And the way he is yelling and screaming at her and going in on her, it's not a good look.
No, not at all.
I hate that it's gotten to the point where they have to handle it publicly. I know. They couldn't handle it in-house. But, I mean, Russell has had some really nasty allegations following him for a long time. So like much what? So, sexual assault allegations from many different women. And allegedly, he went to Bali, I believe, to, like, escape the allegations and get away from it. So, I mean, his reputation is tarnished. And this is obviously not going to help. So it's hard not to believe that he is the man that they're accusing him to be.
So you said it's hard when that they had to go public with all this. Why did they have to go public with all this?
I don't know why they felt like that was the right route, but I'm assuming his kids probably just feel like they haven't been heard, and they probably feel helpless, and maybe they thought because he's such a public figure that if they went public, it would force him to do something or be better.
So when they wished their mom a happy Father's Day, did he say something publicly that made Kimora do that Insta Live?
Yeah, so it was when he said, you need to ask why mother, the exact statement is, stop telling fathers why they should have to fight harder, start asking mothers why he had to fight at all. So that was his comeback to everything that was going on. But I'm with you where it's like, if you're not public about something, I mean, sometimes it takes the Daily Mail coming out with a headline for you to wake up and be like, oh, maybe I should actually treat my kids a little better.
Yeah, because he's basically accusing Kimora of poisoning his kids against him and that she's turned the daughters against him.
And taking over like $100 million of his money, allegedly.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. I hate when these things go public. You know, at the end of the day, they're still people. And the kids, even though they're adults, they're still kids. I just hate when these particular cases, like the Tommy Lee thing with his son, when they got in a fight and they start fighting online, it breaks my heart for the families.
Yeah, I mean, it is tragic. You don't want anything to actually have to, like, come out and make that relationship even more strained. But maybe this is the thing that's going to make him turn things around. Who knows?
We'll see.
Okay,
you think he's just going to wake up and go, okay, time for me to be a dad?
You never know.
Well,
they mentioned on some screenshots that they actually had a really great relationship with him prior. It's that things had just kind of taken a turn. So maybe he just has to get back on track. Okay, being an onstage performer takes some real athleticism, and Adele is the prime example because she says she got jock itch from wearing Spanx on stage in Vegas. It's a real sexy show, she told people at her concert.
That's from sweat?
So it's like, okay, so according to the Mayo Clinic, jock itch, which gets its name because it is common among athletes, it causes an itchy rash in warm, moist areas of the body and often affects the groin and inner thighs, which any lady knows that Spanx in there is just, it's like Saran wrap up in there.
Yeah, is it?
I remember when my brother was playing Little League, because you wear a jock strap. Jock itch during the summer playing summer ball. That was very common.
It's a fungal infection, though. I don't think I'd be telling a crowded audience that I have a fungal infection in my genitals.
They already paid, man. That's fair. Look, and for what they're paying for an Adele ticket, I want to know it all.
You know, fungal infections in teenage boys because they don't wash their jockstrap enough makes sense. Adele on stage wearing her Spanx.
I want to know everything for $500. Tell me more.
Who knows? Maybe Adele's balling on a budget.
What'd your poop look like this morning?
Oh, my God.
I don't know it all.
No.
Nah. For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com. Click eBuzz.
The Bird Show.
So he's gotten to a point where the greatest gift you can give him as a father is being alone. You don't want to hang out with his kids. But this is the first year that he's ever done that. So is it signifying a new red flag or not? That's what, is it he or she wants to know? Is this the wife?
Yes, the wife.
I have a 2.5-year-old son and a newborn daughter with my husband. He's been a great partner and an amazing dad to our kids, always there for us and providing everything we need. This was his third Father's Day, and it's always been a day we've spent together as a family. However, this year, he asked to spend the day alone without the kids. He specifically asked that the kids and I go visit my sister and stay at her place so he could have the entire weekend to himself. I understand that everyone needs time to themselves, and it's been particularly challenging with the newborn, but it's still a bit surprising. The last 2 years, he was all about spending the day with our son and me. So now I'm questioning whether this is a normal thing or a potential red flag. Why wouldn't he want to celebrate fatherhood? This was also his first year with a daughter. Why wouldn't he want to spend it with her? I'd like to be supportive and respect his wishes, but I'm also a bit scared and hurt by his request. I'd love your take on the situation. Ashley.
I'd love for you guys to call. If you've had husbands or you're the husband that just, you know, for Father's Day, I just wanted to be left alone. I just wanted to be solo. Why? And was it a red flag? 1-855-BIRDSHOW.
I mean, I know plenty of moms that want this and people don't think twice about it. And we say this often, correlation isn't causation. So just because he had a daughter doesn't mean he didn't want it. It's because she's a female, because she's a girl. Maybe he's just really stressed by having two kids instead of one. So maybe
it's weekend, though.
He's got a newborn. Dude probably just needs a break. I mean, I don't begrudge him. I don't think this is a red flag. If it continues, like in other aspects of life where he's checking out, not being present, red flag. But dude probably just needs a little bit of time to recoup and get his head together, because a newborn is stressful. A newborn when you already have a kid is a whole nother level.
And she's not going to remember that her dad wasn't there on Father's Day.
My dad has done this. The difference is neither of us were a newborn. We were older, but like he's definitely like requested that on Father's Day a couple times, that all he wanted was to be alone, like just be in the basement doing his thing and just have a day to himself. To just do whatever he wanted to do. But I don't know if having a newborn makes it different. And he's asking for the entire weekend. But I do get one to be alone.
Yeah, I think it's like anything else that you would want to celebrate in life. Like when you do a particularly good job at work, you would celebrate that employee by being like, hey, why don't you take the rest of the afternoon off? So I don't think it should be any different for...
your analogy is perfect. Because it's like, all right, for Father's Day, here, work more because the kids want to be with you all day. So you have to be extra father on Father's Day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, father plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I don't know, man. I guess I'm struggling with this. I kind of understand needing a little bit of a break, right? And taking a couple of hours maybe, right? On Father's Day, a couple of hours. Or if you need a whole day, then maybe a different day than Father's Day weekend. But I think I've evolved a lot over the last few years that, honestly, my definition of really being fulfilled and being content used to be in a bar, used to be hanging out with friends or whatever and creating those kind of memories. And now it's spending time with Eliza and Hollis and Hayden when he's available because he's in school. So I guess I'm looking at this through my eyes, just that's a day to celebrate and all hang out together. And those are some of the greatest times. So at least for me now, that would be an absolutely no.
But close your eyes and take yourself back to the newborn phase.
Yeah, that was tough.
Like your kids now are like independent and capable.
It's better, that's for sure.
Well, yeah.
You can imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, a newborn and like I do not begrudge the man to want to have a little peace and quiet.
Yeah, because I'm in that phase of me and my parents' relationships where, like, me and my brother, like, we're fun now. We can drink margaritas with them.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm not saying you're having a margarita with Eliza, but the relationship is definitely different where they feel a little bit less like your kids and more like friends. So, of course, you want to spend more time with them.
Yes, I agree with that. That makes total sense to me. Like, sometimes people will ask me when they're having a kid or during that newborn phase, like, what is the best year, right, of how old is your kid when that is the most fun year? And the truth is, and it's going to sound like such a cliche, every one of them out of the newborn year gets better and better and better, at least has gotten better and better and better. I thought 4 was amazing. They're the cutest. They can't get cuter. 5 is awesome. And then 6, it gets more interactive. And each and every year, I've got one right now that's 9, almost 9, and I've got one that's 16, and these are the best years. They're the absolute best years.
I think you also got to look at everything else going on in dad's life. Like there are some weeks for me where dealing with the kids is easy peasy, even if they're being like total chaos monkeys, it's easy. And then there are other weeks if I'm stressed about other stuff where I'm like, I need to sit. I'll literally sit in a dark room with no noise and just try and decompress because I'm so overwhelmed. So maybe dad was going to spend Father's Day with everyone, but he's just at the breaking point and he needs to chill out.
Maybe. Hey, Ashley, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Good. Well, so my husband and I have a 10-year-old and 5-year-old twins. And so every situation is different, but our rule is we mom and dad 364 days a year, and that one day, Mother's Day or Father's Day, we are not momming, we are not dadding. Like, get us away from our children, that's what we want for our day. So I think it's normal if you are an involved parent who is there every single day.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate you.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
So there's no red flag for you guys.
No.
Nope.
No.
Zero.
If anything, I totally get it.
And before you guys hit me up with like, how come you didn't say Hayden? Hayden's in college, so it's a little bit different than us hanging out with each other every weekend like I do with Eliza and Hollis. So don't hit me with all that.
Get it. The Burt Show.
Mo, so there you are in New York, and it just made sense, man. Two neighbors getting in a fist fight.
Nothing screams New York City like a good old fist fight on a Sunday afternoon. And that's exactly what I witnessed when I was at a barbecue for my family. So I obviously I don't live at this place, but in trying to gather information from my aunt who does, I put together what I believe they were fighting over. But for me, literally, it was like a point in the barbecue. It's a lot of people there. It's a lot of interaction. So every once in a while, like, I'll just need 5 minutes to just go be by myself and just to relax for a second. So I take my drink and I'm sitting on the stoop, which is like one of my favorite things to do in New York. And I'm just people watching.
So stupor, like, if you're not from the Northeast, you don't even know what a stoop is.
What would you, a porch?
Front porch.
Is it front porch or stairs that are leading down to the
road? It's stairs.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting like on the top of the stairs and everything is happening in the back. And then I come out to the front to get some peace and quiet, ironically, is what I was intending to do.
So wait a second. You're getting peace and quiet out of the house and you're going into the streets of New York to get peace and quiet?
Not technically, not the streets. Just right on the stoop. Because this is a quiet neighborhood. So, well, normally. So I'm like, all right, this is cool. I'm enjoying the breeze.
Where in I got New York my are drink. You I'm taking Brooklyn? It
in. I'm in Long Island at this point.
Okay.
So I'm just chilling, and then I see like someone parks, and which was normal, and it almost appeared as if the other lady was waiting for this lady to park. So to my understanding, they have parking spaces, but not official parking spaces in this neighborhood.
So it's the kind of thing like if you park there every day, you'll almost assume, same here in our parking lot, right? If you're there over and over and over again, you just assume you inherit that parking spot.
Exactly that. So I guess one of the ladies kind of moved in recent times, and she's not here for the whole, like, everybody has their own little parking space thing. She feels like if I get there first and it's open, I'm parking there, right? So it's become somewhat of a competition where these two ladies don't even want to move their cars, like, because they don't want to have to fight over this parking spot. And I get it, because the way this street is, if you're on one side of the street, then you have to deal with street sweeping when they come and clean the side. So you have to constantly move your car twice a week. Whereas if you're on the other side, you just leave it there. Nothing's going on. So I guess she had had enough. And the lady is like, and she's double parked in her car. And then the parking spot in front of the home is open. But the other lady drives around. I guess she was just getting home, and she parks the car. Mm-hmm. And the lady that was double parked now drives up to kind of like block her into the space. So now she's double parked. She immediately gets out the car.
Uh-oh.
So I'm on the stoop like, oh, it's about to be good. Right? I don't know what's about to happen, but I'm here. So she gets out.
Make some popcorn.
She gets out and she says, basically, she's yelling at her, I'm tired of this. You know this is my spot. All these other spaces, why do you have to park in this one every single time? And she just keeps like cursing at her. So then the other lady gets out and then she's like, you know what? Today is the right day. Like, basically.
Here we go.
Yeah, she was going through something. she wasn't there for it
it's
this day.
It's not the wrong day. It's the right day.
Oh, you got the right person on the right day. So I'm like, oh, they're about to fight. Like, this is a real thing.
Are these women in their 20s, 30s, 40s? What's it look like?
I would say 40s.
Okay.
They were both probably in their 40s. And then so the lady who gets out the car that's parked, she like goes, they both like going to meet each other. They're going around the cars to meet each other. I'm thinking it's going to be like a shouting match. No, the lady who told her you picked the right day hit her with her phone. Like, she had her phone in her hand and hit the lady in the face.
What?
With the phone. So the lady reacts like, oh, no, you didn't. And then, like, she puts her hands up. They start legit having a full-blown fist fight.
You never think that's going to happen when you're watching it all go down. Because most people don't really want to get into it.
Right.
They want to get nose-to-nose and then have somebody break it up. Not women, though.
No.
It's different.
They fight. Yes. And then, of course, I go to grab my phone, and I didn't bring my phone. It's upstairs. But I don't want to run and get it because I don't want to miss the fight. So,
did you ever once, before you continue to tell your story, think, maybe I should intervene before this gets into a fight?
Absolutely not. That is not my business. No. But thank God the husband ends up coming out. He runs out because I guess he saw the fight from the window or wherever he was. So now he's trying to break them up. Like, he runs and he's pulling them apart. As he's pulling them apart, the lady who got hit with the phone, she snatches her phone and throws it, like, as far as she can. It goes down to the intersection, and then a car runs over this lady's phone.
Wow.
Just tossed her phone. So she's now calling, he's like, oh, you ain't just throw my phone. So she's trying to fight her. So the husband is legit trying to, like, keep them off of each other. And then the cops finally come. Somebody must have called the cops. And the husband is, like, begging the other lady to not press charges. Hmm. But she's, like, bleeding out of her ear. I don't know how that happened.
She's like, she bitch slapped me with the phone.
Yes,
of course I want to press
I'm
charges.
Yes, I'm pressing all the charges. But she was bleeding out the ear. The other lady is still trying to get to her. The husband's trying to hold them back. The cops are trying to figure out what exactly happened. They looked at me like they was about to ask me questions. I went right back in the house. I didn't see nothing. It's not my business. But, yes, two ladies got into a full-blown fist fight on a Sunday over a parking
space. You didn't want to be a witness?
No. No. Please leave me alone. I was not even here.
We've had too many bouncers and security guards on that have said that, look, when two dudes get into a fight at a bar or when they're approaching each other, what they really want is to, like, bow up, and they want the fight to be broken up before they actually get into fisticuffs. With women, they've said, it's different. Two women lock in on each other, there are going to be fist thrown. This is not a threat. They are going in. And that's how you know, like, break it up, because it is really going to come to fisticuffs.
That's a fact.
It's the Burt Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.